Now, last week we saw that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him by God for righteousness. God says, this man is leaving it all to me. What can I do but save him? He trusts me. And knowing well that God does not play favorites and that Christ died for the sins of us all, Paul argues that if we believe God and what he says about Christ, God will count it to us for righteousness. If we take the position that we are hopelessly lost and leave it all to God and his mercy and his grace, he'll say, that man trusts me to save him. What else can I do? We have it right here in Galatians 3. Remember the sixth verse? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then verse 9, so they which be of faith, Abram believed God, those who believe, are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. But don't you have to keep the law to be saved? Many religious leaders say yes. And many who are not yet saved are sure that this must be the case. But God's word answers with a clear, emphatic no. And on this basis, look down with me now at Galatians 3, verse 10. There he says, for as many as are of the works of the law, that is, who try to be saved on that principle, are under the curse. For it is written, he goes to God's word again, in Deuteronomy 10:27-26, it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, it's all right to obey a few laws that you find easy to obey, but what about the rest? Beloved, it's the function of the law to condemn, not to justify. Obviously, if everybody did what was right, we wouldn't need law, would we? This is why the Apostle Paul says by inspiration in 1 Timothy 1:9, the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. The function of the law is to put the finger on sin and condemn it. And you don't have to break the whole law to be a lawbreaker. Remember that. James 2:10 says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all, that is, guilty of the whole. Well, that makes sense. How many links do you have to break in a chain to break the chain? Just one. How many cracks do you have to make in a plate to break the plate? Just one. How many people do you have to rob to be a robber? Just one. How many houses do you have to burn to be guilty of arson? Just one. How many murders do you have to commit to be a murderer? Just one. How many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? Just one. And we've all committed one, and we keep on committing them every day. Just one sin ruined this earth, beloved. Don't you think for a moment that God will let you into heaven with one sin on your soul. That's why your only hope, and my only hope, is to trust in Christ, who died to pay the penalty for all our sins, that the slate might be wiped clean, as it were. You remember the story of Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim? You see, to enter into Canaan, the Israelites had to go between two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and to teach them an important lesson about law and grace, God had two companies of Levites one to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. But on Mount Ebal, he had them place two large stones with the law written in large letters upon them. And the Levites on this mount were to pronounce curses upon those who disobeyed the law. In Deuteronomy 27, where the story is told, you have a long list of the curses. The Levites warning the people, cursed is everyone that does so and so, cursed is everyone that doesn't do this or that. Cursed, 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 cursed if you do what's wrong or don't do what's right. This is why in Galatians 3:10, I should say, Paul quotes from the same chapter and verse 27 when he says, "For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." You remember the rich young ruler, how he came to Christ and said, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" We always want to do something, don't we? We want to earn it ourselves. So the Lord said, "Well, you know the law. What does it say?" And he quoted the gist of it: "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." Well, the Lord said, "Do it, and you'll live." Obviously, none of us has perfectly kept the law of God. So the apostle says, if you're trying to be saved by keeping the law, you are under a curse. Now let's get back to the next verse in Paul's argument in Galatians 3, verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For," and then he quotes a verse that was very well known to them, Habakkuk 2:4, "the just shall live by faith." In fact, he uses this verse several times in his epistle. "The just shall live," or "shall gain life by faith." This was the great verse that shook Martin Luther's theology to its foundation. It had such a profound effect on his life that he had it woven into the napkins at his table, into the pillows about his house. He had it inscribed on the dishes and silverware with which he ate. He even had it woven into the cuffs of his sleeves so that when he sat down to read or write, he'd see those wonderful words, "The just shall live by faith," by believing. Now, if life is to be had by faith, clearly it is not to be earned by good works, the works of the law. This is why he goes on to say in verse 12, "But the law is not of faith." But, and then he quotes another passage, Leviticus 18:5, "The man that doeth them shall live by them," live in them, live by them. You remember Romans 4:4, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." The working man at the end of the week, when he gets his salary, he doesn't feel that the boss has given him some special gift, given him something for nothing. Of course not. He earned it. So remember this. If you want to be saved by doing good and keeping the law, you're not saved by grace. And he says the only way to be saved is by grace. Let me read verses 11 and 12 together so you'll get the idea. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For God says, the just shall live by faith," by believing. "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them," God says again, "shall live by them." Now this last quotation, I say, is from Leviticus 18:5, where Moses says, "If you do these things," that is, if you keep the law of God, the commandments of God, "you'll live by them." So clearly we have to make a choice. If we want to be saved or justified by the law, we must keep it all perfectly and continue to do so. If we break it once, all hope is gone. You see, you can't do this. There's only one alternative for salvation, therefore. You must trust Christ, who died for your sins, the only one who kept the law perfectly and then died as a lawbreaker for you and for me. 1 Peter 3:18 says that he suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And may I call your attention to an important fact? Peter didn't preach these things at Pentecost. He was then still preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And when they said, "What shall we do?" he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." But now, he's learned from Paul when you come to his epistles, that is, Peter's epistles. He's learned the gospel of grace from Paul. And he says that Christ died, the just, or suffered the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Paul puts it beautifully in Colossians 2:14, where he says that the Lord Jesus blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, decrees, laws, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. How beautiful. The Lord Jesus, when he paid for our sins, stripped the law of every claim against us. Why don't you trust him as your Savior? For otherwise the law must stand and condemn you, and you'll be eternally lost. Now this brings us to the 13th verse of Galatians 3. Let me read it. Oh, wonderful verse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For, and here he quotes Scripture again, how the Apostle Paul quoted the Word of God, as we're trying to do in these broadcasts. Don't believe us. We're trying to show you what the Bible says. Here it is, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. For 1,500 years, God taught man historically that he couldn't save himself by keeping the law. People are doing it still today. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, and they may do a few good deeds to cover the bad deeds. And I put that "good" in quotation marks. They say the first invention was the wheel. Oh, I deny that. We read about the first invention in the Bible. The first invention was the coat of fig leaves that Adam and Eve wove to hide their own nakedness. And that was a picture of the fig leaves, the poor, paltry works that men are weaving to try to hide what is naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God saved Saul, the chief of sinners, the leader of the rebellion against himself and against Christ, and sent him forth as Paul, the apostle of grace and the symbol of his grace. It's this Paul who says in Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Verse 24, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in or that is wrought by Christ Jesus. Verse 26, we declare, I say, at this time, it wasn't always declared, but now the finished work of Christ could be revealed and declared. We declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, His imputed righteousness, His righteousness reckoned to the believer, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus, period. Not like in the so-called Great Commission, the commission given to the 11, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh no, he that believeth shall be saved. To that poor Gentile jailer, Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And here in Romans 3:26, he says that God is just, and at the same time the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus paid for our sins. Verse 27, where is boasting then? Oh, wonderful answer. It is excluded. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith, by believing, without the deeds of the law. The time is almost gone, but let's go back for just a moment to Galatians 3 and read just a few of these verses again so you'll get them in the sense of them. Verse 6, Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 9, so then they which believe, they which be of faith, are blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 10, as many as of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. God willing, we're going to go further into this verse next week. But I wonder if you've heard that beautiful song written by P.P. Bliss, Colonel Bliss, during Moody's days, entitled Once for All. Let me read it to you. Free from the law, oh happy condition, Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Now are we free. There is no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call. Come, and he saves us once for all. Children of God, oh glorious calling, surely His grace will keep us from falling, passing from death to life at His call, blessed salvation, once for all. Once for all, oh sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, thy burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us. Once for all. Aren't you glad we're saved by the finished work of Christ instead of by our own works? Lest any man should boast, says Ephesians 2:9. If we got there by our own works, heaven would never hear the end of it, would it? We'd be telling everybody how I got here. God says, oh, there's going to be none of that in heaven. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You accept this gift of God now. Trust Him, the one who died for your sins and for mine at Calvary, and eternal life is yours.